The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
It's my best purr there, Dr. Rab. What you got?
I thought that was a horse. I was about to say that is the best horse impression. I mean, I thought it was recording of a horse. That's the best horse neigh. You know, the little brushing that I've ever heard in my life. Take that on the road.
I'll let you ride me. How's that? Welcome to Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I'm Tony Curry, your co-host. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. Every Monday on Tony Curry Radio, you can hear this show. It runs at noon and 8. And, of course, you can also check us out on Spotify. That's really the place to go. Go to Spotify and check out Dark Side of the Pooch. It's a fantastic show. You can go back and listen to all of our previous episodes. It's wonderful. And also 208-0301, 208-0301. Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. We always like to warm up a little bit. How's things going at Rossbridge? Anything exciting happening?
Oh, just the typical stuff for the most part. Just doing our thing, staying super busy thanks to all of our people and our new people.
There you go. All right, that's a good thing. I don't know if you saw this story. A woman in British Columbia was caught on camera. Her name is Kate Oakley. She was breastfeeding her baby inside when her pet goose Franklin was attacked by a bald eagle on her front porch. She ran out topless in her underwear and saved the fowl. It was all caught on camera. Did you see that?
I have not seen this.
It is well, you're not going to see too much, by the way, but when you see topless woman runs down an eagle in her front yard, you're obviously going to watch the video. It's worth a look-see. So that goes to our first question from Tippy in Scottsboro, Arizona. She said, "Have you ever heard any stories of puppies or kittens being taken away by giant birds?"
Not personally. You know, I have heard a lot of people come to me with like secondhand stories like this, you know, they're always worried. They get a small dog and they say, "Oh, you know, I heard about this story." But as far as someone bringing it firsthand, I haven't.
I know you're not into aviary type of animals here, but I would assume it would have to be a really small animal although this goose looked pretty big. I mean, this goose was bigger than the bald eagle, and he had it by the neck, and it was taking it away.
Yeah. These birds of prey, I mean, sometimes they can outkick their coverage and come down and try to grab, you know, something that's a pretty good size. But, you know, I would think that if you have a dog that's probably under 10 pounds, mm-hmm. You know, maybe the bird, it depends on if the bird is hungry.
Yeah.
You know, because if something's hungry, they whatever that is kind of makes some interesting choices. So if something's hungry, they might try to bite off bigger than they can chew. So you never know.
Well, and again, they don't always have to fly away with it, too. I mean, if they get a good stab shot there on the ground, then they got themselves a meal without even flying away with it. We had, we had a bunch of chickens in our backyard, and we went through the whole plethora of the chicken coop, the whole nine yards, the middle of summer, the flies. It was a learning experience. I don't know if I'd ever want to do it again. But every single night we had something getting into our chicken coop, and we were assuming it was some type of fox or whatever. We had a baby chicken called Hawk, and I forget what the type of breed it was, but it was a really small chicken. You could hold it in the palm of your hand, and it was getting beaten up by the other chickens, the proverbial pecking order, if you will. And so we brought it inside for like 2 or 3 days. We were putting Vaseline on its sores. We were doing everything to keep it away from the other chickens. And we let that thing go in the backyard. And within 5 seconds of it going in our backyard, a red-tailed hawk came down, picked it up, and it was gone. It was horrible.
All that work.
It was horrible, but it was the circle of life. I was like, oh, no. It was terrible.
You couldn't have scripted that any better for some kind of comedy show.
Yeah. We have lots of mutt mail questions here. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net, become a bonehead, leave your emails. You can also leave us all kinds of stuff there on Spotify, search Dark Side the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart, Tony Curry, or Tony Curry Radio, and you can leave questions there as well. I always like to get into one story, and this is one of my stories. And then I'll get into some mutt mail. I went through a divorce about a year ago. We had 4 dogs. My wife got 2. I got 2. And we've got kids, and so they go back and forth. And my dogs, absolutely, there's a mourning process there. Every 7 days, my dogs are freaking out. They're so used to having the kids around the house, not necessarily playing with them or walking with them, but just having them in the house is so wonderful and advantageous for our dogs. And then, of course, when the kids leave for the week to go to their exes, then they're just absolutely bored. Do you have any therapeutic ideas for people kind of go through the same thing? And I realize a lot of people will fight over animals in a court of law. But when animals are so used to having children or another parent around and all of a sudden they're gone, how do you keep your animals comfortable?
Well, in situations like this, I just read a study, and it was a little bit inconclusive. But the one thing that the study looked into was if we come in, like if we've been gone for a while and we kind of act over the top with our pets, or if we're about to leave for a long period of time and we try to give them extra, you know, love and attention, is it possible that we could worsen their, you know, depression or anxiety by doing that? Like, for example, is it better to kind of, you know, leave, kind of discreetly, yeah, you know, and come no. home discreetly. So, you know, the study was kind of inconclusive, but I did think that it was interesting. So that might be something that people could try, you know, maybe like, you know, when the kids leave, you know, maybe slip out, you know, without the dogs knowing a whole lot.
Yeah. We do that as parents, right? I mean, when we have babies, the first couple of times we leave, we try not to make a big deal out of it. We kind of slip out when they're playing Legos or whatever on the floor, so they don't know what's going on, in hopes that they kind of forget we're even gone. Right.
Yeah. 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 Just like that. So, but again, you know, it wasn't, the study didn't, you know, it didn't find that changed the situation a whole lot, but it did warrant whoever ran the study. It did, you know, there were enough people behind it thinking that it could change some things. So, you know, you might, people out there might want to do something like that potentially. But then, you know, you're kind of only, after that, you're really only left with, you know, medication. And if it's only happening, you know, once every 7 days, or if it just happens for a couple of days, once every 7 days, it's probably not really worth medicating them, you know, because I think a lot of the medications that would work and just affect their mood and not sedate them, you would have to give every day.
What about, what about clothing? I mean, I know animals love the smell of different types of clothing. Do they smell like if kids' dirty laundry? Is that something that you could put around? Would that help or hurt?
I mean, you could try it. Yeah. You could try it. There's nothing wrong with trying it. And you know, maybe the smell of them would help kind of calm them down. I mean, it's pretty well documented that pheromones from other dogs help calm other dogs. So, I mean, it'd be worth a try.
You know, what's amazing too is if you leave your dog for like 4 days or you leave your dog for 4 minutes, they react the same exact way when you come walking in the front door. And that's a great thing. But the few times, and it's happened just a couple times, where you walk in the door and they don't greet you, you wonder what's going on, man. What's happening? I mean, they could just be plain exhausted. But several times in the last couple of weeks, I get home and they're not at the front door. And I'm like, are you guys okay? And then they warm up. It's weird.
I don't think they have a concept of time.
Yeah, no.
I don't think they really have a very good concept of time. So, yeah, 4 days, 4 hours, it's all the same to them.
Yeah. We're doing some mutt mail here. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net, become a bonehead. Tons of emails. This is our most emailed show right here, Dark Side of the Pooch. You can listen to the show every single Monday at noon and 8 right here live on Tony Curry Radio. First run shows. Go to Spotify, search Tony Curry Radio. That's Curry with a K. And listen to all of our past episodes. There's like over 20 of them. It's fantastic. Barb in Birmingham wants to know, what's the most common form of laying a pet to rest? I know I've been through it with you. I brought my dog home. I put it in the backyard. I think there's some jurisdictions. I don't know if it's Hoover or the city of Birmingham or whatever. You're not supposed to bury animals in your yard. I'm not sure why. I know some people, have their pets cremated so they can, keep track of them or put them up on the mantelpiece. But what's the most common, form of laying a pet to rest? And is it okay, she asked, just to leave it at the vet if they're going to put it down?
The most common form after the remain, like for the remains, is to cremate them.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of towns, you know, or suburbs or whatever that have restrictions on being able to bury pets. Mm-hmm. So if you think that you might want to euthanize your pet and bury it, I mean, if you want to play by the rules, then, you know, maybe call your city and see. You know, we are not the police, you know, when it comes to that. If people say they have a place they want to bury their pet after we euthanize it, then we make special arrangements for them to take the pet after we're done. Mm-hmm. In our office, the most common thing that people do is they want to be present until the very end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that it gives them a sense of we're not going to leave this pet. And, you know, the pet's not going to be fearful. It's going to know that we're there. And that's great. But The way that we do it at our office, we give them a injectable sedative. It's the same sedative that we would use for a surgical procedure or a dental procedure. And then after that's taken effect, we give them the medication that will put them to sleep, which is basically just an overdose of an anesthetic. So after we give them the first injection, they are on a surgical plane of anesthesia. So they're not aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I tell people that, and they still want to be there. And it's more for them than for the pet,
yeah.
You know, in my mind. And that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that because the owners need to be comfortable with the situation, you know, and it's an uncomfortable situation. It's not a fun thing. So if there's anything that we can do to help people be more at ease, then that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
But there are some people that don't want to be present after we sedate the pet. They can't bear to see them take their last breath or whatever. And we understand that too.
Yeah.
You know, most people will do one of those two things. And then I would say it's probably split 50-50 if people get the remains back from the cremation or if they don't want the remains back. You know, I think we're probably split 50-50. It's not very often that we have people just drop the pet off before we give any type of drug.
Yeah.
But that's not saying that that's wrong either. That's why we offer it, because there are some people that just, they can't bear the thought of it at all. You know, they want to remember their pet standing, you know, being there, being alive, and they drop it off, and then we take care of everything after that.
The one thing I do love about Rossbridge Animal Hospital, and of course Dr. Rab Stewart joins us here, Dark Side of the Pooch. You go to Spotify and listen to all of our previous episodes. It's fantastic. Tony Curry Radio, Curry with a K, and listen to the show live here on Tony Curry Radio at noon and 8. I've had, I think, two pets that I've had to have put down at your office, and I love the fact that as a veterinarian, sometimes we can't make that decision. We need someone to tell us, hey, listen, it's time, whether that pet is in a lot of pain, whether it's just too old, whether it's defecating all over the house and it just can't live a favorable life. Just because a dog wags his tail doesn't mean it's happy. And I've asked you several times, okay, if this was your animal, what would you do? And you've told me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people look to us because we're the professionals, you know, and it's the same way if I have a professional doing something for me, I don't know what to do. So I ask them. And I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the same because we're talking about a living thing, but you know, you want to be able to trust the people that are helping you. So if it's somebody working on your car or somebody working on your house, you know, hey, I don't know what to do. Just tell me what you would do and I trust you. And so that's what I'll do. And it's nice to have that type of relationship.
No doubt. Currently, by the way, there are 200 pet cemeteries in the United States. Did you realize that? You could take your pet to a pet cemetery?
I did realize that. There was one here locally, and I think that they got into a little trouble. I don't think they were doing things by the book. I think that they got in a little trouble.
By the way, roughly the cost to drop your animal off or have it buried at a pet cemetery is about $470. Cremation runs about $130, and you can have mummification of your animal for $9,000.
Wow. You know, one time we talked one time about taxidermy.
Oh, we did.
How cool that would be.
It would be there. You could actually have your animal taxidermy, which would be something kind of creepy. But I mean, if you really love your animal, what we actually talked about, there's a company that will actually take, for lack of a better phrase, their pelt or their fur off, and you can make things out of it, whether it's a handbag or make it into a rug or something, which I think is kind of creepy, but whatever turns you on, man, whatever gets you going. 205-208-0301, 208-0301. By the way, Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by our great friends at Ed's Pet World. I'm going to be going down there right after the show today. They have parakeets, they have iguanas, they have bearded dragons, they have tarantulas, they have fish out the yin yang, they have chinchillas, rabbits, all kinds of exotic pets. If you're looking for a great exotic pet, Ed's Pet World right there in Homewood, they've been around for nearly 50 years, is the place to go. And they'll ensure that you have all the things you need to make sure that exotic pet lives a nice, prosperous life. Plus, Seth loves his toys. He goes all over the United States looking for vintage toys, Star Wars stuff, collectibles, watches, the whole nine yards. If you have some collectibles still in the box or even not, feel free to go down there and see Seth down at Ed's Pet World and buy, sell, or trade toys and pets. And of course, we always talk about it's a staple, man. If you've never been to Ed's Pet World, the kids absolutely love the place. There's a giant tortoise down there that just walks around the joint. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. All right. Stacy in Virginia Beach is pregnant and wants to adopt a kitten, but she's listening and hearing from the CDC advising against it. Why can't pregnant women be around cats?
Well, because they can get cryptosporidium, and that's something that is shed in the feces of cats. So it can cause abortion, can cause, you know, unfortunately, the babies to die. You know, when we there's all kind of papers that are written about, you know, the human-animal bond and what should happen in the case of a pregnancy, you know, if somebody has a cat. And you don't, if you already have a cat, then you don't need to get rid of your cat if you're pregnant. You just need to not clean the litter box.
Gotcha.
You know, get somebody else to clean the litter box. Now, in this case, you know, I would probably consider, because I'm a little bit on the conservative side, I might just wait until the baby comes before I get the new cat.
Okay.
You know, there's no reason to get rid of your cat if you're pregnant, but if you're going to get a new cat, you know, maybe wait until the baby comes. But if she wants to go ahead and get a cat, you can. Just be sure that you are not handling the stool. You're not coming in contact with the stool. Somebody else is cleaning that litter box. And you'll be fine.
Now we kind of walked through this. I believe it was the last show we did about breeders, and if you're looking to buy a dog through a breeder, and some of the steps as far as the shots and everything that goes along with that. Well, take me through briefly. What's it like when you adopt a kitten? I think a lot of people think that there's just so many cats out there that you really never have to adopt when you can find one in the neighborhood. And I know there's a ton of them. Every time I go to a PetSmart or whatever, I see all the cats there. But when you're taking care of a cat or getting a newborn kitten, take me through the protocol of what you need to do as far as in shots, its care, and everything else you need to do with a kitten.
It's really similar to when you get a dog.
Okay.
You know, you're going to want to have them dewormed a couple times. That's usually the first thing that you're going to do. And that can be at like 2 to 4 weeks of age. But most of the time, you're not going to have the cat by then, because it's either going to be, if you get a breeder from, or if you get a cat from a breeder, which is less common than getting a dog from a breeder, but still, there are a lot of people that like purebred cats. I mean, there's a ton of breeds. So, you know, if you find a feral cat, you know, a tiny little kitten, first thing you're going to do is have it seen, and then a veterinarian can tell you maybe how old it is, and then get it either dewormed at that visit or start its vaccines if they think that it's old enough. And socialization is more difficult when it comes to cats than dogs. Mm-hmm. Cats are still social animals, but a lot of times they're not quite as social. And it's a little bit harder to get together with people who have cats. You know, you can't just go to, you know, a park outside and take a cat, because if it's not on a leash, which most cats are not on a leash or a harness, they're, you know, they're going to just run off. So, but if you can socialize them in your home with other cats or other animals, even dogs, because a lot of people that own a cat are also going to own a dog.
Yeah.
So exposing them to people and to animals is super important, so that as they get older, they won't be fearful of those things. And if you do down the road, if you want to get another cat or you want to get a dog and you already have a cat that has been socialized, it'll make your life easier because cats can traditionally be a little tougher to introduce new pets to. Cats are kind of, they're a little bit spiteful. You know, they may cause some problems marking their areas if they go through something they don't like.
In shoes, in your shoes, man, in your shoes.
Yes.
They'll poop in your shoes. They'll poop in your shoes, yeah.
And in your laundry basket, yes. You know, in your bed, all that kind of stuff. So it's not quite the same as dogs, but it is similar.
Okay. Matthew and Dothan, by the way, this is Dark Side of the Pooch. We do it every Monday at noon and 8 right here on Tony Curry Radio. You're getting to hear the live show right here along with Dr. Rab Stewart at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. Their phone number is 205-208-0301, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Lots of cat questions here. Matthew and Dothan just adopted a kitten. He goes, what's the best way to kitten-proof the house? He realizes loose cords, electrical cords, stuff like that. He's also heard that some kittens have drowned in toilets. And what's the best way to keep your cat from escaping?
The number one thing that you are going to want to do with your cat is to try to get it some things to occupy it so it does not occupy your furniture.
There
so,
you, go.
You know, you want to get it some scratching posts or some things you can hang from a door frame or, you know, because cats will tear up your blinds, they will tear up your curtains, they'll tear up your furniture. So try to find some things to keep it active, number one. And the cord thing is a good point because they will chew a cord in half before you can blink.
Mm-hmm.
And that can cause a lot of problems, of course, with electrocution. I've never known a cat to drown in a toilet, but I'm sure it's happened.
I've had a squirrel do it. I had a squirrel get into the house, and I could not catch it, and it drowned itself in the toilet, yeah.
Wow, I mean, what a stroke of good luck for you.
It was thirsty, and once it got in, it couldn't get out, I guess.
You know, litter box training, you know, most people, you know, litter box is kind of easy, but, you know, scoop them up, put them in the litter box a few times a day. Also, you can... as far as litter box, this might be a good time to mention this. Most of the time you need way more litter boxes than you think you need. The rule of thumb is you need one litter box per cat plus one. So if you have one cat, you need two boxes. If you have two cats, you need three boxes.
And why is that?
That's because cats can be very fickle about their bathroom habits. They want to be left alone. They want to have privacy. So if you have two cats and only one box, a lot of times what can happen is that one cat will maybe scare the other one while it's going to the bathroom if there's only one bathroom option.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, that cat will not use that box. It'll use your shoe or your bed or your laundry basket. So they need privacy. They need to be left alone. And they need a clean litter box. So scoop the litter box every day and completely empty the box and clean it with soap and water once a week.
Now, typically, this is interesting because our cat's an outdoor cat, unless it gets too cold. And I'll leave the door open and it won't even come in. But when it gets really cold, I put it in the laundry room and let it sleep in there. And it seems to really like that, by the way. But I also have a heating pad and everything for the cat outside. But it's an outdoor cat and it seems to like outdoors. And most people, it seems like they either have an indoor cat or an outdoor cat. Does anyone have a cat that goes back and forth like a dog?
Yeah, some people do. Some people have, you know, they might let them out during the day and they bring them in at night.
Do they know? Do you potty train them to go outside or do they, I mean, obviously you don't want a cat. If it's pooping in its litter box inside, it'll obviously go outside. I've never seen a cat pee. I've never seen a cat pee inside or outside. It's the most amazing thing. But you talked about putting on a leash. You just let it outside and just hope for the best. It comes back.
Well, you can train them to go outside just like you train them to go to the litter box. You know, you would just have to take them outside a bunch, you know, until they understand that the bathroom is outside.
Yeah.
And then you would need to be sure they always have access to go outside, you know, through a cat door or something. But yeah, I mean, you can train them to do that just like you can train them to go in the box.
All right. You talked about cats and pure breeds. We talked to little kitty cats. So this is a show about hot dogs and cool kitties. Dark Side of the Pooch here with Dr. Rab Stewart, 208-0301 at Ross Bridge Vet on Twitter and Ross Bridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. You talked about breeds. Last week we were talking about, are there particular breeds of dogs that fit your personality better? And I was talking about my Australian Shepherd. If you don't want to be around a dog that's skittish and is always trying to corral you, that's probably not the best dog, although the dog is settled out a little bit. What about cat breeds? Are cat breeds a little different? And we learned through science that it really doesn't matter what kind of breed your dog is. It can be trained and taught to do anything you want it to do. But what about cats? You talked about pure breeds. Are there different breeds of cats that fit other person's personalities?
I have no idea. I have no clue. I have yet to see much variation in cat personalities in my office. Okay. I mean, when a cat comes into our office, there are three different personalities. There is, you know, the friendly personality that, you know, really doesn't mind what you're doing. Yeah. And those are a very low percentage. And then you have another personality that is incredibly fearful, but it's so afraid that it's just going to lay there and maybe hope that you'll go away. It's going to be as still as possible. It's not going to cause any problem, but it is terrified and it just wants you to finish what you're doing. And then we've got the other one that is super afraid and it is all teeth and claws. Those are the three personalities that we see.
Seems like the latter is the one I get around the most.
You know, I mean, you know, dog personalities, I think we see a good bit of at our office, but you know, cats for the most part, and we love cats. And, you know, the only problem with us loving cats is a lot of times the cats do not love us at the office because they're not dogs. They don't have the same personalities. They don't have the same things that they like, certain areas to be petted. You know, they don't like that kind of stuff. It's all different for cats. So, you know, getting a cat to the vet can sometimes be very difficult. And once it gets there, sometimes it's a little bit easier, but sometimes it's a lot harder.
All right. A final question here on Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it live on Tony Curry Radio every Monday. And of course, thanks to all your emails. Keep them coming. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net. Become a bonehead and leave your email questions. You can also do it on Spotify and search Tony Curry Radio and hear all of our former episodes brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Tina wants to know down in Gulf Shores, are cats, I can't believe all the cat questions today, are they self-shedding? She said she has a cat that's an outdoor cat. It's down there in the beautiful Florida area, but it gets really matted. There's clumps of hair, and she feels the need to take a pair of scissors to it. But once she does, obviously the cat looks like it got into a nasty fight. Do cats just shed their fur? What do we do with matted hair on cats?
Cats shed. They do a lot better job of grooming than dogs do. They self-groom, but cats shed a ton.
Yeah.
You know, naturally the hair, I mean, the hair goes through the same growth phases that dog hair does, but you know, cats will usually take care of it themselves. But if it's a long haired cat, then that hair is going to get matted up, you know, without being brushed. But you know, if you get a regular short haired cat, normally that hair is going to take care of itself. The cat's going to take care of it, but long haired cats, a little bit different. You'll have to either brush that cat, or once the hair gets matted, it, you know, you either trim it or you shave it.
Yeah.
Also, if a cat, you know, gets too big to groom itself, a lot of times what you see is once you have a cat that's, you know, probably pushing 16, 17 pounds, it's hard for them to groom, you know, certain parts of its body. So even short haired cats at that point can get matted and you may have to shave the hair, you know, like if you get gum in your hair,
yeah,
you know, you got to shave it. And that's kind of what happens with a cat. If their hair gets matted, there's no brushing it out. You just got to start over.
I hate shaving no cat.
Oh, it's not fun. No, believe it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take a boutique for that. I'm not shaving my cat. Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Dark Side of the Pooch. We do it every single Monday. The show airs live right here on Tony Curry Radio at noon and 8. Go to Spotify and go back and listen to all of it. It's a great picture. It's a picture of my blue healer with the Dark Side of the Moon insignia on there. It's fantastic. Check out all the shows. We got a ton. Thousands of people are listening and finding your show there on Dark Side of the Pooch on Spotify, so check that out. His phone number is 205-208-0301, 208-0301 at Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World, around for 50 years. They deal in exotic pets and toys. Believe it or not, it's about 50-50 right now. They get everything from fish to bearded dragons, parrots, chinchillas, rabbits, caiman, alligators, snakes. I got my red-tailed boa there. It's unbelievable. They have all the animals you need. Of course, they'll make sure they're happy and healthy. And on top of that, Seth travels the world looking for wonderful collectible toys. Man, he's got toys out the yin-yang. If you can't find your favorite toy, go to Ed's Pet World and check it out. Collectibles still in the box. They buy, sell, and trade. You find something cool in your attic, take down to Ed's Pet World, and they'll be happy to see you at Ed's Pet World. Doc, thank you so much. Always a fantastic show. We'll catch up next Monday.
All right, man.
Thank you, bro. You too.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.